The following is an encore presentation of Car Talk.
Come on, tell the truth, will you?
The following is a moldy old repeat of Car Talk.
That's better.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from my brother, the idiot department here at Car Talk Plaza.
And guess whose brother that is?
Oh, I knew.
It's not your brother.
I knew I was getting sandbagged here. But you can.
It's my brother.
Go ahead.
Here's the story, folks. You tell me what you think. We had, over this past weekend, one of the biggest snowstorms that the whole Boston area has ever seen. I mean, it was like 3-4 feet. And we knew it was coming. It had been predicted for days. The weathermen all knew this was going to be one heck of a storm.
Indeed.
So, on Saturday? Yeah, it was Saturday.
The skies were clear.
The skies were clear on Saturday morning, and my brother decides to drive to Cape Cod, where he has a humble little abode he goes to in the summer. It has heat. But it's near the ocean, and things happen.
Didn't have heat this weekend.
So he decides he's going to drive there, and I say to him, what, are you crazy? And he says, no, it's going to be a great adventure. I want to see the ocean with the wind blowing.
And the snow falling.
So he gets there, and Saturday it snows all day. Sunday it snows all day. He decides maybe he ought to come home. He goes out to his car, and he realizes that there's a 4-foot pile of snow between him and the road.
Which, of course, I shoveled because...
Doesn't matter.
And I had the presence of mind, I should add. By the way, my wife came with me.
Of course.
Kicking and screaming.
He takes his wife with him, and he says, she's going to love it. Sure she is. So anyway, he shovels himself out. And he backs through and he gets on the road and there's a 5-foot snow drift in the middle of the road. He's got an all-wheel drive vehicle. He plows through and he actually makes it. Takes him only a couple of hours back and forth. So he makes it through this pile of snow. He goes another 50 feet and there's a 6-foot drift and he doesn't make it. So he turns around and he goes back home.
I didn't turn around. I backed
up. You couldn't turn around. There was no street.
It was...
It was tough. The next day, he decides to try it again. And this time, he makes it even further because he gets through, I guess, a plow or something had come by until he got to the end of the street. And the snow drift there is about 7.5 feet tall. He decides he can't make it. So he backs all the way down back to his house.
I'm very good at backing up.
This time, when he gets back to the house, he notices a simple little thing is going on. There's no heat. Because why? It's got no electricity. They lost the electricity, and the heat runs on electricity. So he's got no heat. He's got no electricity. They got no food because he can't make it, to the store.
You know when people go and stock up on food in the face of a storm? That's prudent.
That's a good thing to do. So for a long time, his telephone wasn't working. And I was trying to reach him to find if he was alive or dead. And finally, I got through. And he's explaining to me all these things of what he was doing. And he's talking about what an adventure it is.
It was.
And I hear his wife in the background. Screaming something, and I can't really...
Hey, you're an idiot!
How'd you like that? I threw my voice.
Can I hear that again?
Ray, you are an idiot! It was the most terrifying weekend of my life.
Hi, dear.
Hi, sweetie. But I did it for you.
Thanks,
hon.
Well, your life was enriched by it. I mean, this will be a story you'll tell your grandchildren when I'm gone.
And you'll be gone very soon.
You'll say your grandfather, that idiot, took me to Cape Cod.
Oh, my God.
Perhaps the most impressive record-setting snowstorm of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have been happy just to watch it on TV, sweetie.
Okay, well, yeah. I'll be inviting someone else next time.
but why? What were you thinking? I mean, what made you do this?
Well, you know, I mean, I could have sat in the safety of my suburban home, or I could go to the Cape, and like, you know, the pioneers of old, I could brave the elements and maybe prove to myself that I had what it takes.
And these pioneers, would any of them make it beyond like 35, 40 years old?
No, they all died. And I... Well, but it was an awesome display of the power of nature. It really was. And when
course.
Those roof shingles came flying off my house...
And when windows blew out...
Well, that was another story.
And when the fireplace exploded...
That was another little mishap. But all of those things added up to the whole story.
All those things added up to... Monique?
Ray, you're an idiot! But he loved every minute of it.
Of course he did. Yeah. He is an idiot. And you're absolutely right.
Well, I can see I've surrounded myself by a bunch of duds.
Wimps. We're a bunch of wimps.
Bunch of wimps.
Staying in a house just because there's 100-mile-an-hour winds out there.
Only 80.
80.
Yeah. 80, 80. And it knocked us over, and we were like turtles in a snowdrift. We couldn't get up. I was petrified. I thought that was it. We were going to get buried. No one would find us to the spring. And she's laughing the whole time.
Oh, gosh. All right.
But, honey, I'm glad I was with you, because I know you would have gone down by yourself, and if I were left home at our house, I would have been more upset.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because you'd be worried about it.
So that means you'll come next time?
No, hon.
No.
Okay.
Even the dog was scared.
When he starts thinking about it next time, let me know. There are things we can do to his car.
Okay. I trust you to help me, Thomas.
I will.
I'll see
you.
Bye.
See you, sweetie.
Bye-bye, honey.
Bye.
Okay, that's it. That's all.
You know, I now I can tell. Louis calls me this morning and says, we're going to do a thing berating your brother for being an idiot about the turn signal thing that, you know, we got a lot of mail, emails about, you know, your insistence that your turn signal, if you were in the left-hand lane, was unnecessary.
When the sign says left lane must turn left.
And you're in that lane and you say, I don't need a turn signal, because every idiot knows that, well, we got a lot of pretty vitriolic stuff that says...
We did, yeah.
Your brother is an idiot.
Oh, that does it. That's two of us. Okay, welcome to the Idiot Brothers from National Public Radio.
It basically, you know, suggests that it's always nice for pedestrians and other motorists to know what your intentions are. I mean, you may be in that lane inadvertently. Or maybe you're going to do something wrong or illegal.
Sure.
But if your left signal is on, it certainly can't hurt.
No, it can't hurt.
And your suggestion, your belligerent suggestion, in fact, it was redundant and unnecessary.
I was
certainly,
belligerent?
Certainly puts you in the idiot category along with me. How's it feel, buddy?
How nice.
Anyway, if you have a question about your car.
Or about idiocy.
Give us idiots a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jan. I'm calling from the Mojave Desert in California.
Hi, Jan. Mojave Desert, huh?
Yeah.
It's probably not too hot there, right, this time of year?
No, it's not too bad. It's probably about 45, 50 right now.
Yeah, so what's going on?
Well, I've got a 1994 Toyota Camry wagon, and recently it got flooded in a wash and buried up to the wheel wells. And now when I crank the engine, turns out that air is getting sucked into the exhaust system and blowing out through the carburetor and the air intake.
First of all, what's a wash?
An arroyo.
An arroyo. Basically a dry riverbed, which when we got all those rains in December turned out to be a very wet riverbed.
Ah, okay.
And when did you first try to crank it, after the water level went down?
Well, we dug it out, and I hosed it off and cleaned it out, and it took about a week or so before I actually got around to cranking it, because I had to get all the sand and everything off the engine.
And when you cranked it, did it crank okay?
Yeah.
It didn't do anything unusual? It didn't bind up and stop at any point?
It didn't bind up and stop. There were no loud bangs or anything. It was just cranked like normal.
It cranked like normal.
And now it's blowing water out through the intake.
No, it's blowing air out through the intake. It's sucking air in through the exhaust system and blowing it out through the intake.
Okay. Really? Well, what happened, I'm pretty sure, is that your rubber timing belt jumped.
Uh-huh.
And I think what's happening now is your valve timing is off.
By a lot.
By probably 180 degrees or who knows how much. I mean, it could even be 90 is enough to do it. Such that your valves are opening up at the wrong time. And what's opening up when the intake valve is supposed to open? The exhaust valve. You with me?
Yes.
So when the exhaust valve opens up and the piston is moving down, it's going to suck air in through the tailpipe.
Okay.
And when the intake valve opens, when the piston is moving up, it's not supposed to be doing that, it's going to push that compressed air
out through the intake.
Out through the intake valve and through where your air filter is.
Frank, that was brilliant.
Huh.
Brilliant.
And I think that probably happened because there must have been some water trap someplace so that when you first turned it, think back hard, Jan. When you
hear
first
anything.
Turned the key, was there even a split second where it went, huh? And then continued to crank. Was there a slight hesitation?
Entirely possible that it was. I was so surprised that it actually cranked.
Yeah, oh yeah, you must have said, you got to be kidding me, this thing cranked. And I think that...
When that happened, the belt slipped.
Okay.
Yeah, and what you're going to have to do is have somebody, or you can do it yourself, take off the plastic covers that house the belt and bring up the marks, and you'll find out that it's off a lot.
Okay.
But the good news is it won't... Nothing got damaged. If you put the belt on correctly, it's going to start right up.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
And you'll be in great shape.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Good luck, Jan.
And stay out of those washes, will you?
Yeah.
Why were you parked there?
Because it's been dry for the last 10 years, I've been told.
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, well, things happen.
Yeah, well, we got nearly 5 inches of rain in that one night, so that explains it.
That must have been pretty scary.
Yeah,
no, people should avoid, the wrath of nature because it can be pretty pretty damaging. And anyone who goes out and
he's an idiot.
Anyone who goes out and does these kinds of things, you know, ought to be reprimanded at the very least. So be careful, man.
All right,
will do. See you, Jen. Bye bye.
Great, thank you.
1-888.
Where's Monique?
1-888.
Get him back on the phone.
Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. You know who she got that from?
Who?
The TV show Everybody Loves Raymond, because that's the...
Oh.
He always hears from his wife. Ray, you're an idiot.
Well, she did.
The shoe fits, I guess, huh?
The shoe fits,
Hello,
exactly.
You're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Cheryl calling from Chandler, Arizona.
Is that with a C or an S?
That's with a C. It's the only way to spell it.
No, it is not.
It is the only way to spell it.
It is the accepted way.
Well, there you go. Now
Cheryl,
you got it.
Julian doesn't spell it with a C.
Well,
she spells it with an S.
She's obviously illiterate.
Well, we know that. She can't even write. Never mind read.
So I have this challenge. I have a 17-year-old daughter who's been driving an automatic for a couple of years. And we got rid of the automatic, bought a 97 Nissan truck, which seems to fit her personality, except that it was a manual.
Mm-hmm.
So after a couple of nights, it seems that the clutch and the ignition switch in our relationship survived, but she left me with a question that I couldn't answer, and I thought about you guys, of course. She asked me what would happen.
Whenever you think of questions that can't be answered,
exactly.
You think of us, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, if I can answer it, I'll feel better if I know they can't answer it either.
Well, I don't want to experiment with this one. I might experiment otherwise, but not with this one. She wants to know what would happen if she's driving along at 35 or 40 and forgets what gear she's in and then tries to shift into reverse. Now, I've explained to her that it's hard to get into reverse, and we've practiced it, but I had no idea what would happen. In fact, somebody said, maybe you can't do that.
Yes, you can.
Well,
you can't,
but you can try.
Yeah.
And it's the trying that's going to hurt.
That's why they're careful to put reverse out of harm's way, so to speak.
Well, does the motor drop out of the truck? Does it?
No, the transmission will drop out.
The transmission. Oh, okay. So that's not quite as bad.
But, I mean, what's going to happen if you, as you said, it's really difficult to put it into reverse. I mean, you got to push it way over to the side and do all kinds of funny things. And when you try to do it, if you're driving 35 or 40 miles an hour, don't forget, everything is going in one direction, and you're going to try to make it go in the other direction. So you're going to hear some god-awful noises.
Right.
And you're going to feel the thing, because it's not going to want to do that.
Right.
So hopefully, before it chews itself apart, you will have said, oops, and you would have stopped. So you won't really ever get it in. But if you really keep trying persistently to jam it in while it's going, I mean, you'd have to be really nutso to do that.
She is 17.
But you will not. I mean, she couldn't do it.
It wouldn't happen.
You can do it if you try. And you, in doing so, you will ruin the transmission.
Right.
But she shouldn't even think about it. Tell her to get it right out of her head.
I will. I'll work on that brainwashing right away.
But how is she doing taking this leap to hyperspace here?
She's actually doing very well, especially if I'm not in the car with her.
That's usually the case.
When I tried to teach my Andrew to drive, my younger son, to drive stick shift, we went around for the requisite 45 minutes of yelling and don't slapping and whatever. And I finally pulled up to the house, and I got out, and I said, drive around until you figure it out.
Right.
And he came back a half hour later.
And he had it.
And he said, oh, piece of cake, I got it. I said, you got it? He said, oh, yeah, hill starts and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He said, but what's that burning smell?
So, well, I want to teach her the hill starts, but the challenge here in Phoenix is finding a hill to put her on.
Yeah, so. Well, let her get the other stuff under her belt first, and the hill start will come.
Yes.
See you, Cheryl.
Thank you very much.
Good luck. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Bye. Hey, Tommy, it's time for us to pause for a word from our local stations.
Just one word?
Oh, maybe two. Mayday! Mayday!
We'll be back in a minute with more of your calls, so please stay tuned.
Through the valley of the broken runs a river of wreckage, past a mountain range of metal in a wonderland of waste. I'm a soldier of misfortune in this jungle of rejection, riding herd on the discarded in a 10-ton crane. Awaiting resurrection in this castaway collection is a hidden trove of riches, myth, the mangled and the maimed. Every fender bender, every head on and rear ender holds a cache of precious treasure that is waiting to be claimed. I'm just a miner in a mother load of misery, where the fruits of faulty judgment meet the spoils of bad luck. Where the useless and unwanted find a place they can be flaunted. I'm a soldier of misfortune and the king of junk.
And even though canaries volunteer for coal mine duty whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and not the answer to last week's puzzler.
And the knot.
And the knot. The puzzler has hit the road, man.
Yeah, I mean, like it's off for the holidays?
Indeed, it is off for the holidays, but we'll be back soon. In the meantime, you can keep working on our current puzzler, which is posted at cartalk.com. If you'd like to talk about your car or anything else, then call us right now.
Yeah, the number is?
888-CAR-TALK. That's 88-82-27-78-22-55-92-61.
Hike!
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is JP from Richmond, Virginia.
Hey,
JP.
What can we do for
you
today?
Why did you choose to be called by initials instead of by a name?
Well, it's a long story.
John Patrick, which is your real name, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Well, that's very common in the South anyway, isn't it? Initials.
Maybe.
More common than it is up north here.
Okay.
Here we just have Shippen Bradshaw Throckmorton IV, you know.
Right.
And when you call him, you say, hey, Shippen Bradshaw, use the whole name.
Right. All right.
Okay, JP.
Okay, so
Get
I have
awesome,
a,
man.
I have an 87 Chevy S10 pickup truck, and it's has 300,000 miles on it.
Woof!
And it's a wonderful vehicle.
Really?
Now, my wife has been trying to get me to get rid of it for probably 5 years.
Well, why does she want you to get rid of it?
See, I also have this old motorcycle that doesn't run that well. And then we just got a little minivan. So now we have too many vehicles.
And she's embarrassed, quite honestly, to be seen in the S10, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though I think women look hot when they're in a pickup truck.
Yeah.
She's going to get all the guys in the neighborhood to tell me I won't be any less of a man if I don't have a pickup truck.
Yeah, well, don't you believe that?
See, what
she
doesn't, know.
Don't fall for that.
What I think would comfort her is that you say that gals look hot driving a pickup truck.
Yeah.
But trust me, you're driving this 87.
Right.
You don't look hot.
Oh, I don't care.
Well, that's good.
See, that's it. I mean, and guys don't care.
Right, yeah.
But it means something to you to be driving around. First of all, the fact that it's that old and it's still running, that's a sign of manliness because you've managed to make it keep running.
Hey, you know.
By whatever means.
That's what everybody thinks.
Sure.
You're right, yeah.
That's why I drive a 40-year-old car.
Good stuff.
50-year-old car.
Yeah. My brother always tries to drive a car that's 10 years younger than he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, just about.
Just about. The gap is actually widening.
There's some kind of a logarithm.
There's something going on there. I don't know what it is.
I wish I had one of those wind-up things.
So what's, do you have a question?
What's wrong with it is I leave the key in it in case any of my neighbors want to borrow it.
What a guy.
Yeah, and, they give me beer, so it's a trade-off.
No, they just put it right in the tank?
So my neighbor says he's going to borrow it, and I say, that's cool. And then I get a phone call saying, JP, what do you do about this stalling problem? Mm. And I said, what do you mean a stalling problem? Man, I was on Route 95, and the thing, you know, died on me. I said, I don't know. It's never happened to me. So I'm like, you know, I don't know. And I'm just thinking this guy, he's, you know, did something goofy or whatever. So then he makes it home all right. So that's good. And I think, well, I'm going to test drive it. You know, I'll drive it to work. So it's like 4:30 in the morning, and I'm going to work, and it happens to me. And I'm like, what? This is not right. So I'm on the highway, the interstate, and it just slowly dies on me. Like, it'll chug, and it'll slow down, and then I'll give it gas. And when I put my foot on the pedal, it seems to die even quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So I make it up to an exit ramp. I get it in neutral, and then I'm just gunning it, you know, trying to blow out something or whatever.
Exactly, of course. That's a time-honored method.
Right.
Let's blow it out.
So, hey, you know. So it worked. So I've
it worked. Like, it never works.
Well, it took a couple minutes. I went about 5 miles an hour. That's as fast as it would go.
Yeah.
And then finally I was going downhill on the exit ramp going back home, and it opened up, and I made it home going 70 miles an hour.
Well, did the check engine light come on?
Yes. The check engine light is on almost all the time.
Oh, but was it on before this incident?
I'm not sure. It probably was.
It's always on.
who
knows? Who can keep track of stuff like that? One day it's on, the next day it's not on.
Well, I want to say that I think it's wonderful that you and your neighbors share your truck. I mean, I think that's a very, you know, wonderful thing to do.
I'm lucky we have a good neighborhood.
Yeah, my neighbors borrow stuff and I never see it again.
Oh, yeah? All right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is that you have either a plugged fuel filter or a bad pump, a bad fuel pump.
Uh-huh.
But I wouldn't just go ahead and replace that. I mean, you should have somebody at least scan the thing to see if, in fact, the check engine light means anything.
Okay.
I would go there first.
Okay,
before you go, JP, I mean, since I was so good at picking out what your real name is, I'm going to put my
reputation on
the line again.
Okay.
And I'm guessing that even though you now live in Richmond, Virginia, that you have not always lived there.
That's correct.
And I'm going to further guess where you used to live.
Wow, you're going to be good if you get this.
Baltimore, Maryland.
Wow, man.
Wrong, huh?
Yeah, wrong.
How close?
But you're within 20 miles.
20 miles?
Yes.
Come on. That's I call that a win.
Yeah, Boone, Maryland. How did you... No.
I'm just too good.
I'm
just too good.
Yeah.
It's frightening, you know?
He is.
That is frightening.
Yeah.
It is.
Unfortunately, that's all that he's good for. But hey, you can't have everything.
Hey, thanks for calling, JP.
Hey, thank you.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Yeah, time to give Berman his annual petrified fruitcake.
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we check in on a caller from a previous show to see if our advice was right on.
or right on the edge of libelous. So do we have a lucky contestant this week?
Yeah, it's Gloria from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Remember Gloria?
Me. Of course, man. G-L-O-R-I-A. Gloria.
I'm impressed. You didn't even need me to hum a few bars. It says here, Gloria has an 86 Olds Cutlass Sierra that was also serenading her.
I pull it out of the driveway, and I get this when I make a sharp turn.
How heavy is the sound? Does it sound like metal?
Oh, it sounds like a grinding sound, and it's quite loud.
I like that. So yeah. If you were to pull out of the driveway, I assume you're backing out of the driveway,
and
you're cutting the wheel hard to the left.
That's right.
Because you live on a fairly narrow street with cars parked opposite your driveway.
Yeah.
You don't want to hit anybody.
That's Are there any trees on the street that you see in your little vision there?
In Las Cruces?
Yeah.
I do see...
You do see bushes.
I do see some cottonwood trees.
Do you?
Uh-huh.
So what did we decide was wrong with Gloria's car?
I don't know, but we're talking about the trees. You said the problem was in the power steering pump. Something like a loose belt that was causing it to rattle around under load.
Oh, yeah, that's bogus, I think. But did you agree?
Well, I had to agree, but I think I did it reluctantly because I didn't have any better ideas.
All right, well, let's see how we did. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, look, before we find out if the power steering pump was shaky... or my reasoning was shaky, we need you to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
True.
And also that the answer you're about to give here on Stump to Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or by that giant flowering cactus that we had delivered to your house a couple of days ago.
True. I didn't get that cactus yet.
Well, it's on the way.
It's on the way, maybe. So, was it the power steering pump?
No.
Oh.
Good thing we didn't send the cactus.
I'm not giving it back.
Oh, it wasn't the power steering. I'm not surprised because I remember that we really didn't have any good ideas.
Well, no. I mean,
We were just...
Well,
so the question is,
one.
I don't want to know what it is yet. Did you get it fixed yet?
Yes, I got it fixed.
Oh, you did.
After $1,189.
Oh, they sold you a rack and pinion?
Nope. There was nothing wrong with the power steering.
Oh, the engine was falling out.
No, they kept saying it was the brakes, and they went and checked the brakes. There was a few dirt in the little brakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I drove out, and I was waiting for a light and all the noise, and I said, boy, that truck better be, there's a truck right next to me, and I said, that truck better get some service. It's making terrible noise.
And it was you, wasn't it?
Yes. So I made a U-turn, and I came right back to the place, and he said to me, what did you do? I said, I did nothing. I stopped the car, I put the air conditioning on, and he said,
oh.
That was it, the air conditioning.
The compressor was bad.
So I landed up with a new compressor.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, right, and we didn't ask you.
Uh-huh.
If you turned on the... And we should have known.
See, I always have the air conditioning on because here it's very hot. But, of course, when they were fixing, they turned it off.
Right, and that's why when you started the car every morning, it was automatically on.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And they turned it off, and, of course, you turned it on.
Uh-huh.
And you heard the noise.
Uh-huh, yes.
Oh, boy, are we embarrassed.
On us. Shame on us. Gloria, you have to... I don't know if I asked you this the last time, but where are you really from?
New York City.
I figured as much.
Yeah.
Whereabouts? Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, yes.
So what the heck are you doing living out there?
Well, I was transferred when I was working. I was transferred upstate, and I had to fight snow, and I was traveling 1,250 miles a month.
And so you said, I'm getting out of here.
I'm going someplace where there isn't snow.
Good for you.
And do you love it?
I love it, yes.
Good for you.
Beautiful place.
Good
Wonderful.
Luck.
Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps, okay. Gloria. And enjoy the cactus.
I shall.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us from cartalk.com. You know, something easy, hopefully.
Yeah, I know. Well, that was that was right in front of us, and we missed it.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you'd like to stump us right now, if you can't wait, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Connie, and I'm from Rome, New York.
Hi, Connie.
We have a 1985 Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra, and my husband and I drive in to work together in this car. Lately, I've discovered that my husband and I have very different theories about how to warm this car up in the morning. And
probably have different theories about everything.
And it's causing an argument on a daily basis at this point. He thinks that it wears the engine out to let it warm up while idling. So his routine is to clear off the snow first, then start the car, put on a seatbelt, which takes about 5 seconds, and then immediately start driving. He believes the car will heat up faster while it's moving, and therefore it will have less wear and tear ultimately. I'm more of the old school type. I'm thinking 20 degrees. Oil, high viscosity, this is a bad thing. It's better to start your car first, let it warm up while you clear off the snow, and then take off. So he's a big Car Talk fan. He has all your tapes. He listens to you guys religiously.
And he'll do whatever we say.
Exactly.
How about you? Will you do whatever we say?
Yes.
And who drives to work, him?
Well, he does. Yes, he does.
He does.
And it's even to the point where he has a routine in the method that he drives. We live about a half a mile from the highway, so he'll take off going about 30 miles an hour. Then it's downhill, so it maybe goes up to 40. So he says, I'm not straining the engine at this point.
That's good.
Then there's a stop sign, but the engine still is cold.
Yeah.
Then he'll make a right turn onto this highway, and he'll keep it pretty much between 40 and 50 miles per hour until the car kicks into overdrive. And then he'll go faster.
I have to say that your husband is sort of doing everything pretty good, but for the most wacky reasons I've ever heard. But it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
I'd almost go along with what he said.
Really?
Almost.
Okay.
Except for the first part where I'd go along with you. I think I would warm it up before I got to the windshield.
Yeah?
Well, only because it'll make it easier to get the ice off the windshield if it's warm.
Did you buy it new?
No, this is an old car that my dad actually rebuilt. He put a new engine in there, and so it's used, and it's 1985. So it probably has, we think, with the new engine in it, 100,000 miles.
Mm.
And this is his car. We have another car, a 1995 Geo Prism, and that's kind of like my car. But if I'm driving it, he insists that it gets warmed up in the same routine.
Well, he's actually right, except in cold weather. With modern cars, which are fuel-injected. Now, the 85 is not fuel-injected.
Oh, okay.
But the 95 Prism is.
Yeah.
There's really not much harm in letting the thing warm up, except that it wastes a little bit of gasoline.
Right.
But in the old days, when you had a choke with a carburetor, the thing would be revving at 4,000 RPM.
Yeah.
You'd be wasting gasoline and doing damage to the engine because you'd be putting in an uncontrolled amount of fuel. Modern cars don't allow that.
Oh.
So you can warm up your Prism, not only while you clean off the window, but while you clean off the kitchen table. So you can have breakfast and then come back in and do the dishes and let the thing warm up. Yeah. You don't need to warm it up more than about a minute,
okay,
however. Unless it's extremely cold. And extremely cold, I would put at zero or below.
Okay.
Yeah, and the real truth is it doesn't really make a big difference.
Really? So, because this, of course, is the comfort factor, too. Because I don't
want to
get in a car.
Comfort factor. That's right. I mean, and when you weigh the comfort factor against the long life of the engine,
yeah,
you got to trade that off. I mean, it's nice to have an engine that will last forever, but you're not going to last forever, so why should the car? And even more important than that is that you don't argue about it.
Yeah.
So, well, I can tell you and your husband don't argue about this.
No, they don't. But they do have words, and they do have a disagreement. And I've decided, for example, never, when I get in the car with my wife, I don't drive anymore. She has to drive because I don't want to take the heat, so to speak.
Yeah, we've known. In fact, when you get in the car,
nobody wants
you
to drive.
See you, Connie. But don't be afraid to warm it up for a minute or so, and you know, even a little longer if it's very cold.
Yeah. I think your husband's position is a little extreme.
Okay.
And if he warmed it up for a minute or two, it wouldn't do any harm, and it would be a little compromise with the comfort of the passenger.
Okay, sounds good.
See ya.
Great.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, I think it's time for us to take a little break.
What break? Give me three good reasons why we should take a break now.
Well, number one, we'd be fulfilling our contract with NPR by taking a break at the time that they specify.
Yeah, so?
Well, number two. You ready?
Yeah.
We'd be giving stations time to provide listeners with important local information.
Come on.
Number three. We can sit on our butts for a minute with nobody bothering us.
Hey, isn't it time for a break?
We'll be back with more of your calls, so please stay tuned.
She drove west to Salt Lake City to the California coastline. She hit the San Diego freeway doing 60 miles an hour. She had a husband on her bumper. She had a 5 restless children. She was singing as sweet as a mockingbird in that 40 canola.
And even though hibernating bears wake up and swat at their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and not the new Puzzler.
Right. The old Puzzler was so challenging that we're continuing it for another week.
Yeah, right.
That's bull. You don't really have a new Puzzler, do you?
Not really. I need another week, man.
All right, but if you need a challenge, we did have what I call a spectacularly interesting and difficult Puzzler last week, and you can read the whole thing at our website, cartalk.com.
In the meantime, if you want to talk about your car, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Lawyer on Car Talk.
This is Maggie Brown from Portland, Maine.
Hi, Maggie. How
Maggie,
are you?
Portland, Hi. Maine. I've been to Portland, Maine.
You have? I'm actually a transplant. I'm originally from Boston.
There used to be a terrific seafood restaurant right on, what is that big river?
The Portland, Maine River.
The Portland, Maine River, the Casco?
I don't remember.
There's a lot of rivers, actually. Further up Maine,
but
too.
Portland is not on the water, on the ocean, is it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It is?
Well, so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Portland.
Portland.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
I thought it was inland.
No, there are ports that are not on the ocean. I mean,
that's
the Mississippi
true.
River has
They'd
many
like to
ports.
Be. That's why they call it port.
Yeah. Okay.
So, what's up, Maggie?
Well, I am the happy owner of a 95 Geo Prism.
Mm.
And I love this car very much, and it's been very, very good to me. Like, kind of like baseball was to that
yes,
person.
Yes, very, very good to me.
But lately, I've been noticing that my gas pedal is sticking. It tends to be worse when it's damp or rainy out.
And cold?
I haven't really pinpointed it to that, but that could have something to do with it. It's cold here.
Is it worse first thing in the morning?
No, not really. It goes on throughout the day. It's most noticeable when I have come to a complete stop and I have to go. It's a standard.
In other words, you step on the gas and it requires extra effort.
Exactly. People that are next to me think I'm revving my engine.
Oh, but are you, in fact, revving? When you step on the gas, does, in fact, the engine rev up or
yes,
nothing happens?
It revs.
Okay, so you step on the gas and for the first portion of your application of force,
uh-huh,
nothing happens.
That's
and
right.
Then
all
it finally
of a sudden
breaks loose.
Exactly. It's like I'm breaking through to some sticky point, and then I'm in there.
Right. And then it's revving. And, of course, you're going to burn out the clutch if you haven't done that already.
I haven't, surprisingly.
Well, maybe you have and you don't
but
know
when
it.
You
oh,
take
boy.
Your foot off the gas, do the revs come down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And has anyone looked at it to find out where the sticky point might be?
Well, not really. I've kind of done a little bit of, I've sprayed WD-40 down near the gas pedal area. I've had all kinds of ideas thrown at me, and I'm at the point now where I need to bring it somewhere, but I kind of wanted to bounce it off of you guys first.
You haven't had any work done on the car recently?
No, just alignment, stuff like
and
that.
Oil change, maybe? Stuff. I mean, maybe somebody left some Hostess Twinkies.
Maybe there's an apple pie there.
And they melted.
Well, at least it would smell good, wouldn't it?
It would smell good, yeah, for a while.
Yeah.
You could just have carbon buildup in the throttle body. Because this thing has a fuel injection and not a carburetor, you do have a cable running from the gas pedal to the throttle plate.
Okay.
And that throttle plate rides in a housing, which is all of which is called the throttle body.
Okay.
So when you step on
it's
the...
It's like a little dish, you know?
Okay.
When you step on the gas pedal, you're really stepping on the air pedal. You are opening this plate. You're moving this plate from the vertical position to the horizontal position when you've stepped on the gas pedal all the way to the floor and thus let more air in.
Okay.
And it might just require cleaning. So they'll take off the snorkel that runs between the air filter and the throttle body, and they'll clean it with a solvent, and that may fix it.
Okay.
But when it doesn't, you may need to have the throttle body replaced.
Okay.
Because sometimes if you get too much wear, it will cause it to stick. And they'll have to decide only after they clean it.
So either a can of WD-40 will really do it when they spray it in the right place, or you're going to buy a new throttle body, which is going to cost you $500.
Really? Or more money. Don't worry. Maggie, don't worry.
It's only money. It's only money. That's a famous last line, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Good luck, Maggie.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Good day, gentlemen. It's Wendell from Memphis.
Hi, Wendell.
Hi. I have quite a problem here, gentlemen.
Go ahead.
Okay, I have a 93 Bronco, full size, customized, raised to the skies.
So how high off the ground is it?
You got those 8-foot tires?
Yeah, you got it. It's the dream truck. I take it to the mountains in Arkansas. I drive it back home, park it in the driveway, and mind you, this is seconds after I get home. I hear a rumble. I turn around. The truck is engulfed in flames. Fire is shooting from the front window. My neighbors are both doctors yelling at me to run for my life. The side window blows out. By the time the Memphis Fire Department gets here, the truck is destroyed. Now, what happened?
The fire was in the passenger compartment.
Inside. It was inside the truck and blew the windows out.
Cool.
No, it wasn't cool. It's scary.
No, hot.
Yes, very. And very destructive.
So did anyone do any kind of post-disaster investigation?
It's underway now, I might add.
It is.
Yes, they're trying to reach a conclusion.
Right, okay, because the insurance company is going to have to pony up, right?
Yes.
And they want to make sure that you didn't set the fire.
He laughs.
Exactly.
Like it would be the first time.
Right.
You don't smoke or anything. Like you don't have a cigar burning on the seat or anything.
You drove back from Arkansas.
Right.
How far?
400 miles round trip.
Okay. But in this last trip, it was half of that. So you drove 200 miles.
Yes, sir.
And you did it all in one shot.
That's right.
What did you have on? Heater, air conditioner, radio?
A heater. It had just turned cold here. So this was the first time to run the heater. There's another consideration.
Uh-huh. If it started in the passenger compartment, it almost has to be electrical in origin.
Okay.
Did anyone open the hood and look under the hood?
The thing was on fire.
I mean, after you had the second beer and talked about it with your neighbors. I can see you standing out there saying, oh, man, look at that mess. I mean, did you open the hood just to look or not?
The hood is non-existent. It's melted.
Ah, the hood is melted.
You got it.
Answer one last question. Was your wife cheering?
Perhaps the neighbors were.
The neighbors probably were.
Yeah.
Perhaps the neighbors were.
Boy. Well, you may never find out.
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
No, they're not going to find out.
Forensic mechanics? He's got the forensic team out there right now?
No, you remember when Uncle Nunzio was in the car removal business? They never were able to pin anything on him.
That's right.
I mean, I think the arson guys, they figure out where the fire started.
Right.
And you can tell by where the hottest place and what burned first and all that business.
Except when the thing is really, really burned to a crisp, like you say this thing is.
They may not
be able to tell anything, but they may, but it's going to be hard to point the finger. But, you know, it could have started from a gasoline leak.
Don't you watch court TV? Well, those guys can tell anything.
I know. It could have started from a fuel leak. For example, if it started from a fuel leak and the fuel caught fire while you were driving, okay, you wouldn't know it. And then the fire started to burn and melted the insulation off some wires, okay, in the vicinity of the firewall.
Right.
Okay, and those wires shorted out because their insulation was now melted. That, in turn, caused wires under the dash to get really hot, and their insulation melted, and it could start a secondary fire.
How long after you stopped did the fire take place?
It was a matter of not minutes, but seconds.
Seconds? You were pretty lucky.
I was very lucky.
Has your wife been in touch with the insurance company?
Why do you keep asking questions?
I think she might have bought a big policy on them. I'm a suspicious kind. You know, there are all kinds of reasons she could have been trying to get rid of you. But you know, fires can start in a lot of different ways.
But you know what's curious about it, though? That it reached such intensity so quickly.
Yes,
that's very strange. It is not consistent with an electrical fire.
No, it's consistent.
Which would smolder.
Right.
It would take 20 minutes
right.
to get flames.
Well, it might have been burning while he was driving home. I suspect it was.
Really?
Wendell, you are one lucky devil.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go immediately to Las Vegas and bet on anything.
Well, here we go to Tunica, because there's tons of casinos right down the road.
That's good enough. Good luck. Maybe you'll win enough to buy yourself another truck.
It's a pleasure speaking with you.
Same here, sir.
Take care, Wendell. Bye-bye.
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 1-888-CAR-TALK. He is one lucky guy. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-78-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Susan. I'm calling from Cambridge, Mass.
Hi, Susan.
Whereabouts in Cambridge?
Inman Square area.
Oh, what street you live on?
You can't tell us that.
I can't tell you that.
Oh. You might show up for coffee.
So what's up?
So I don't really have a car problem. I have a 6 months of winter problem.
Yeah, tell us about it.
I mean eight months of winter.
You wish it was
six. I want to know when it snows and my car is completely buried, is there any reason to dig it out if I don't need to drive it?
So how long are you thinking of leaving it buried?
Until the snow melts.
So until June?
Yeah.
Well, which begs the question, why do you have a car? If you need a car that infrequently.
Well, that's a good question. My husband drives it to work, but when it snows, he takes the subway.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, but he can't, the subway stops running in the nice weather?
It takes like twice as much time for him to take the subway. And, you know, time.
You know, many years ago.
You know what he needs?
What?
A motor scooter.
A motor scooter.
Exactly.
What is that going to do in the snow?
No, he doesn't drive in the snow. He takes the subway. But for the warmer months.
For non-winter months.
Yeah.
He needs some other means of getting to work faster. He's been using the car.
A Vespa.
He needs a Vespa or who makes the Vino? Suzuki? Yamaha.
Yeah.
Yamaha or Suzuki, or one of those guys makes this little thing called the Vino.
It's a little small.
It's a Vespa knockoff.
Yeah.
The Vespa has two seats.
Yeah.
So you guys...
So we could go...
You could go together.
What if we're going to the grocery store?
It's got a little trunk.
But you'll have to walk back.
Yeah,
what if we're going to the liquor store?
Well, you'd make a lot of little trips.
Well, but we're not going to sell the car just yet.
All right,
we're going to hang on to the car. So we want to know whether it's okay to just leave it.
You're forcing us to get back to the question.
We don't want to answer your question. Because
the question is, will any permanent damage
exactly.
be done to the car if you'll just leave it covered in snow for long periods of time?
No, nothing's going to happen to it. I mean, more than would happen to it if you left it uncovered in snow. In fact, it could be argued that the snow...
Is a preservative.
Is a protective blanket, not unlike cosmoline.
What is cosmoline?
Cosmoline is a bogus story.
No, cosmoline. I have a jar of cosmoline in my basement.
Oh, it really exists.
That was sent to us by the people who make cosmoline when we were kids.
Yeah.
There was a story that you could buy, you know, when World War II ended.
Yeah.
When I was a kid in World War II, my brother was a kid in World War I had ended. And as such, you were able to get horses cheap. but when I was a kid and when World War II ended, it was understandable that the United States military had
Jeeps.
Tens of thousands of Jeeps, which they had expected to use in the Pacific Theater of Operations and never did, and as such had to get rid of these things because they were just taking up space and they would never use them in a million years. So for $50, you could buy a Jeep. Okay,
And in order to preserve this Jeep, the rumor was, and may have been true, we never knew, that they had covered it with cosmoline, which is like Vaseline.
Exactly, to prevent rust.
So
these Jeeps were supposed to exist, but of course we never saw them. They were $50, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
so you're not doing any permanent damage. It's almost certainly not going to start when you decide that you need it.
Oh, really?
Well, that's
the problem, because the battery will be dead.
Because it got frozen?
No, the battery's going to go dead not because it got frozen, but
because the clock's been running.
It didn't get started, and the clock was drawing current, and the radio memory is drawing current.
So how long does that take? I mean, should we
It takes about 3 weeks.
3 weeks? Okay. So start it up every 2 weeks.
You could do that.
Yeah.
And actually, if you're going to start it up, you'd probably be better off driving it.
Mm.
And if you're going to drive it, you might as well dig it out. If you're going to dig it out, your husband might as well drive to work.
I wouldn't bother starting
Here's the problem in the city. If you move it, you're parking on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
exactly
the problem. That's you move it, you never get your spot back.
Yeah.
But you can park indefinitely on the street, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
No one's going to call it an abandoned car.
Well, what's the worst that could happen? They would tow it, and it would be free.
And it would be dug out then.
I mean, it would cost something, but it would be dug out.
But it would be cheaper than dug out. Yeah,
it would
be cheaper than digging it out yourself. I think you should leave it.
Okay.
And buy yourself, you need to buy then one of these booster pack things, you know. It's like a jumper pack.
It's a battery.
Okay.
And you charge it up in your house. It's a small version of what's under the hood.
Oh, cool.
But it enables
you. And it comes
with little
jumper cables attached to it.
Okay.
So you don't have to summon a passerby. You have the ability to jumpstart your own car.
Wow.
With this little device.
It's a wonderful, cute little device.
See, independence.
And it's not dirty because it's all encased in plastic. And it's got
Cosmoline, actually. They're compacted Cosmoline.
It's got cute little dials on it. You just open the hood when the snow melts.
Okay.
Hook this up to the battery, and it'll start right up.
Great.
And they're only $50, just like the Jeeps.
See you. Everything's
$50. But today, $40. See you, Susan.
All right, thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Our
esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman.
Where is he? Have you ever seen him? Have you met him?
Once by phone.
Yeah.
Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David Rainman Green. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Brookline, Pickle Brine, Fatted Swine, Dandelion, Moonshine, Dance and Dine, Conga Line, is John Bugsy Lawler.
Where is he?
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our disgruntled massage therapist is Ophelia Self. Our practical joke evaluator is Odessa Goodwin. Our Indo-Egyptian blues musicologist is Mohammedan Ptolemy. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the cafe owners continually trying to evict Tommy in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
Be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 852, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com. Also this week, it's open enrollment time for our Puzzler newsletter and our Time Kill Weekly.
Open enrollment? You mean like a health plan? Can't you just sign up for the newsletters anytime?
Well, yeah, I was just trying to make it sound like a little more exciting, you know?
Come on. You can sign up for our weekly email newsletters, the Puzzler Newsletter, or Time Kill Weekly anytime at cartalk.com.
Open enrollment closes soon, folks.
It does not. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Arnold Schwarzenegger steers his motorcycle into oncoming traffic whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.